All right, week three of the missions conference, we're talking about worthy. Jesus is worthy. And I need to talk to you about something that's on my mind. I'm a very weird guy. Thank you for not saying amen. You're the only service that hasn't. I appreciate that. I'm unique. My mama, she calls me special. I never forget a face. I'll forget your name. I may forget where I know you, but I never forget a face. Here's a story. This story only happened because I was by myself and Holly was not there to rein me in, to tell me to whoa, or to tell me to drop it. I was on a plane ride from Philly to Bangor to visit Holly, to see her. I was on a missions trip or she was here visiting. Either way, we were married and she was not with me. So I have a seat buddy that is not my wife. And I'm sitting on this airplane and I look up about 10 rows and I know someone. It's an actor. And I know that it's an actor. I'm 97% sure that this is an actor. And I look at that, and I know the TV show that he played in. I know what he did in the TV show. I know the movie he was in. I know the part that he played in the movie. I'm just not 100% sure. I'm 97% sure this is the guy. So I did the first thing I knew what to do. Hey, seat buddy, psst, that guy up there, is that the guy that did that in that show and that in that show? You know what she said? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Look again, is that the guy? And I said the same thing. And she said, I don't know. You know what that's cue for? You're weird, leave me alone. So I did the second best thing that I know to do. You know what I did? Hey, seat buddy, psst, that guy up there, did that guy do this and this? And they said, I don't know. I said, look again, did they do this and this? And they said, I don't know, which is cue for, you're weird, leave me alone. It bothers me. I have something I have to know. So I took it to the Lord in prayer. And I said, Lord, I really need to know. I have no one here to balance me. I really need to know. I said, Lord, can you make us happen that we just get to the baggage claim together? And I kind of sort of accidentally on purpose happened to bump into him and say, oh, I'm sorry. By the way, have you ever? I said, Lord, it's in your hands. I never met him at the baggage carousel. I met him in the terminal. In the little hallway that gets you from the airplane to the desk, I ran into him. And I said with all the confidence, excuse me, sir, have you ever, or are you that person that played in this movie and did this? And are you the person that did that in that TV show? And they said, yes. Hot dog, I'm right. And then he said the next thing, I'm on vacation. You know what that's cue for? You're weird, leave me alone. But I knew it was him. And I sat down and I thought, I need an app. There's an app for that, and it's called the IMDb app that tells you all the reviews of the movies and tells you all the characters and where they have previously played. If you don't want to download the app, you can just Google it. It's what I do. And I sat there and I started thinking about that encounter. I gave merit and recognition to that actor. I put him in an important and a particular sphere because I knew him. He was worthy of my praise. But then I felt convicted. Because you know how many times I talked to my seat buddy about Jesus? You know how many times I talked to her about God as creator who made this heaven and earth? You know how many times I talked to my other seat buddy about the love of Jesus? But you know how many times I talked to them about this guy that played in the movie? And I felt this conviction. And it's been years. And I thought, you know what? Sometimes we take so much effort to honor others. I wonder what it would look like to honor the Lord, to put him in a place of recognition because he is worthy to be praised, to give him a place of important sphere because he is worthy to be praised. As we look and finish up our missions conference for this year, we want to go out and share the gospel because he is worthy to be praised. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4, the context of Revelation chapter 4. It's written, Revelation is written to encourage those enduring persecution. It's written for the accountability of the churches, and that's the immediate context. In Revelation 2 and 3, it's written to seven churches. Some of them have been encouraged. Some of them have been rebuked for the way they are interacting and handling themselves in the world. And so the immediate context is accountability for the churches. In Revelation 4, God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our worship because he is the creator. He made this all. Your homework this afternoon is to go with Revelation chapter 5. We honor God and we see him as worthy because he was the one to redeem us, to pull us out of our sin and our guilt by giving us Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to look at Revelation 4, God is creator. And if you want to follow and take notes, we're going to look at some of the reasons that God is worthy. So if you want to take notes, God is worthy because. God is worthy because. In verse 1, God is in control. God has a plan. That is very easy for us to say. And sometimes, friends, it is very difficult for us to believe and practice. But Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 1, John is reminded, after these things, what are these things? Well, that's the context. The immediate context of Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches that are addressed by John. After he addressed those churches, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard was like. You can also take time to, in your Bibles today or right now, to start underlining the number of times the word like is used. Takes me back to my English class, and this is a use of a simile. It's a comparison using like or as. If we put a little Tom in here, we'd say, oh, this is something similar to. It's kind of sort of like. So John is in heaven. He sees this and he goes, there's not earthly words to say what I've seen, but it's kind of sort of like this. So mark this down. You're going to see this. And when something's repeated, it's important. So behold, I saw this voice. I heard this voice, which I heard like the sound of a trumpet. It wasn't a trumpet. It was like a trumpet. Speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you what must take place. This is a key word right here. What must take place. Remember, God is in control. Remember that in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, all those verses talk about God and what he is doing. God is in control. I found myself reflecting, even saying, what has happened in the last couple of years? God is in heaven and God is on his throne and he is in complete control. We sit down here on earth and we say, boy, things are falling apart. Everything's gone haywire. But let's remember, friends, God is in control. He brings John up. He says, hey, listen, I want to show you what's going to happen. I want to show you what must take place. God is not in heaven saying, oh my goodness, I turned my back for a second and look what happened. What happened? Remember, friends, God has a plan and God is in control. It's really easy for us to say that when things are going our way. It's really difficult for us to say that when things are not going the way we think that they should go. So John comes up to heaven. God says, hey, come here. I'm going to show you what's going to happen, what must take place. There's a plan. And God is worthy of our praise because he's in control and he has a plan. So if you're going through a difficult time, please receive this right. God has a plan. God is in control. To you, it might not seem like God is in control or that it's going according to your plan, but God's plans will always come to be fulfilled. Verses 2 through 4, we find God is worthy and we worship God as being worthy because he is stable. When things in life are not going the way we thought, and an illustration is when the boat is rocking, we try to stabilize the boat. When things on earth are not going our way, oftentimes we're looking for stability. And sometimes for me, I won't speak for you, I get so earthly focused, I lose my focus on eternity. And I need to look at this and remind myself, God is stable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even though my world is rocking, God is stable. He has a plan. Immediately I was up, I was in the spirit, and behold, there was a throne. There's a throne in heaven, and when you have a throne, somebody sits on the throne. Well, that's the king. That's the king's place to sit. And who is the king? It's God. And God is sitting on the throne. If you've been watching the last few weeks or even in the last month or so, with the passing of Queen Elizabeth, there's been some instability with the queen has passed, and here comes the king. What's going to happen? What's going to change? If you read whatever you read, there's all this change going to happen. It's because the throne was vacant for a few days. God's throne has never been vacant. God is seated on the throne. And there's a throne that was standing in heaven, and someone was sitting there. Who is it? It is God, seated on the throne. And he who was sitting was like. Notice the word like. It's not as, but like. So we see God sitting there, and he's like jasper. Jasper is a cousin to the diamond. I'm not a jewel guy, but it's like a diamond. And it makes me think of when you get engaged and the girl gets the ring and the guy puts the ring on and they're now engaged and she gets her nails done to be able to show everyone, look at my ring. Or she might look at my ring, and the guy goes, look at the ring. Look at it sparkle. It's wonderful. It glistens in the light. And we see God sitting on the throne, and his appearance is like a diamond. Beautiful and perfect, majestic. And there's sardis, that's a red stone. So there's a diamond and there's red in appearance. He's like that. John is trying with human words to put something that is indescribable, uncontainable. He's trying to put words to. And he says, and there was a rainbow that was around the throne. Your second piece of homework this afternoon is to go back and start reading in Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9. That's Noah's flood. When God flooded the earth, he gave a promise to never flood the earth again. And he gave what as a reminder? A rainbow. And as you see a rainbow, you go from one side to the other, or one horizon to the other, you see the end of the rainbow, the beginning and the end. Notice what happens in heaven. John sees a rainbow, and it doesn't stop on the horizon. It's a complete circle. It's a reminder for you and I, when struggles come, when trials come, when difficulties come, to remember the promises of God. They are complete. What a beautiful picture John is given for Revelation 6 through 19 that's coming when there's turmoil, when there's confusion. For those that are left behind, John says, don't forget the promises of God. They are complete. And then there's like an emerald in appearance, another green jewel that is there. There's this beauty that is in heaven. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon those thrones I saw 24 elders. If you're interested in getting into deep dive of theology, let me know, and I will certainly either photocopy or scan some of my commentaries that you can study the different views of the 24 elders, who they are and who they're not. I'm not going to go into that because I think it takes away from the thrust of the passage with this theme of worthy. But there are 24 thrones and 24 elders sitting upon those thrones. They are there to worship the Lord. Notice how they're dressed. They're clothed in white. White means purity. White means perfection. White means without blemish, because there's no blemishes in heaven. There's only perfection. Notice what's on their heads. It's the golden crowns. They have headwear in heaven. Something that we find very valuable on earth is gold. These 24 elders are sitting in pure white, dressed in white with golden crowns on their head. A beautiful appearance of what God looks like. God is worthy because he's in control. God is worthy because he is sitting on the throne. He is bringing stability. In a world that is unstable, we look to heaven and we say, God is on the throne. It's going to be okay. God is also worthy of our praise because he is holy. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. Today we have apps that bring us the latest and greatest weather updates. Here comes a storm. A thunderstorm's going to hit Bangor at 4:23. Back when I was a kid and it started to blow, the wind started to blow, if the leaves turned upside down, that meant the storm was coming. You remember that? My mom would tell me, now you come home if those leaves turn. Okay. Do you think I listened? Why would you say that about me? Of course I didn't listen. I stayed out in the rain. Sometimes you would look and you would see the dark clouds start rolling in. Oh, it's a doozy. Here comes God sitting on the throne. Flashes of lightning and rolls of thunder. A storm is coming. Revelation 6 through 19, here comes a storm. But remember what John is seeing. It's the promises of God for those that love him, those who trust him, those who walk in accordance and obedience to his word. You're going to be kept safe. Here comes this thunder and this lightning. And there were seven lamps. Notice the number seven. Number seven in the Bible is a number of completion or perfection. We get that from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Because God created the world in 7 days. 6 days he worked, 1 day he rested. Therefore, we get seven as the number of completion and or perfection. So there's seven lamps, perfection and completeness. Again, why? Because I'm in heaven where there's white garments and a holy, perfect God that is worthy of my praise. And there are fire burning before the throne. That symbolizes the authority and honor given to God himself, which are the seven, again, spirits of God. And before the throne, there was something like glass. Took me a while to understand this, so I had to go back to my childhood when my dad taught me how to chip away at an antique window and reglaze or putty in the glass. He worked on some homes that were antique or older, and they wanted to keep the integrity or the look of the house antique. You don't want to live in a house that was built in the 1800s, 1900s, and have brand new Renew by Anderson windows in there. Some people thought it took away the beauty and the authenticity, if you will, of the building. So he taught me how to chip the glass and how to repoint it. And he took time, he said, look at the glass. If you look really close at the glass, it's wavy. Sometimes you have, I'm going to call it an air bubble or something in there because it's not machine made. If we'd open up the blinds today and look at the windows, there would be perfect glass, smooth, no pebbles, no air bubbles, no waves because it's machine made. Back in Bible times, they couldn't make, quote, perfect glass. It had that waves. Look at what happens in heaven. There was something like a sea of glass, perfect, reflective, without blemish, without harm, without default, like crystal, something that shimmered and glimmered in the beauty of the light that is there. And in the center and around the throne, there were four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. What does that mean? That sounds interesting and weird. What is trying to be told us? God sees everything. God knows everything. And because God knows and sees everything, he is worthy to be praised. There's four living creatures. The first living creature was like a lion. The second one was like a calf. The third was like that of a man. And the fourth was like that of an eagle. Those four animals or people represent something. The first one, the lion, represents supremacy, that God is supreme. The second one, ox, it provides strength, that God is powerful. The third one is man, which means God knows all, is an intelligent. We as humans don't know all. But that figure, like a man, shows that God knows all and sees all. And the fourth one is an eagle of swiftness, which represents swiftness. So if you will, we are in heaven seeing this, and John says there's something like this going on. I see a living creature that represents the supremacy of God, the strength of God, the intelligence of God, and the swiftness of God. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes because they see all, because God sees all. Around them, and day and night, they do not cease to say, what are we going to do in heaven? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to praise God. Well, don't you think that that's going to get old? Not when we get to see God as he is. Not when we get to understand the beauty and see this image. Our response is going to be worship. So all the time, we're going to sing about God's greatness. His greatness as creator, also his greatness as redeemer in Revelation chapter 5. We're going to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. This should sound familiar if you want to mark Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the Almighty, the Creator, who was and who is to come. There's never a time that God has not ceased to be. And because of all that he has done, all that he is, our response is to worship him. Verses 9 through 11, God is worthy of our praise because he's a creator. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, our worship will be to God because of what he has created and what he has done. Thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever. We will give thanks to God. We will praise his name. And I hope you receive this in the way I want to present it. If I get so excited about seeing an actor on an airplane ride from Philly to Bangor, shouldn't I be more excited about seeing God in the beauty and the splendor that is his? My response will be worship, should be worship. And if scripture is true, and it is, it will be worship. And the 24 elders will fall down. These 24 elders that are there in white robes with crowns in their head, their response is going to be to fall down. Again, I meet people and they say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look at God and I'm going to wave my finger and I'm going to tell him what's what and wherefore. I want to be there to see that. Because every place in scripture, I see this response. When people come into the presence of God, their response is to fall down and worship. And these elders are falling down before him who sits on the throne, and they will worship him who lives forever and ever. They will cast their crowns that were on their head to God as a form of worship. And they will say what? Worthy are you, O Lord. You are the one. Again, what does it mean to have worthy? It means to have special recognition, to merit recognition in a specific way or to have a person of nobility and importance and recognize them. God, you are important. God, you are deserving of my adoration. You are deserving of my praise. Why? Because you, O Lord, are our God. To receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things. We're going to worship God for all that he created. We live in a beautiful state, in a beautiful world. But this is after the flood. Just imagine how beautiful the Garden of Eden was before the flood. Just imagine how beautiful it's going to be when God renews this earth. And our response is going to be worship. And because of your will, they existed and you were created. Our response, because of what we see, because of what God has created, is worship. I want to end our time in a different way. I want to take you to Revelation chapter 4. This is an artist's rendition of what he thinks that Revelation 4 looks like. And I submit to you, it's close, but it's not close. Because we in our fallenness can only imagine the beauty of it. But let me read this again, and just let me encourage you to look at this picture and just wonder that Christ and God are worthy. And then allow it to minister to you and also break your heart. Because there's people around the world and across the street that do not know God. And it is our privilege and our call to share the good news that God is worthy of our praise. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like a trumpet speaking to me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like jasper stone and sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their head. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center, around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like that of a lion. The second creature like a calf. The third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like that of a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they will worship him who lives forever and ever. They will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." Lord, this morning, we come and we worship you. We worship you as creator. We worship you as redeemer. And we're so thankful you sent Jesus. You are worthy to be praised. So we stop and we honor you. We give you special recognition and merit. We honor you in a special way because what you have done, you have provided redemption and creation. And it's held together by your will. And this morning, Lord, we worship you. Lord, we're so thankful for your truth. And Lord, as we finish up our missions conference, there is a world that is broken and hurting, that does not know you, that does not know you are worthy to receive honor and glory. Lord, give us a burden, give us a passion, break our hearts so we can take this good news across the street and across the sea. For you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.